evening and welcome to the WMBR Nightly News. We present a half hour of news and analysis focusing on underreported issues, marginalized communities, and progressive perspectives that can be hard to find in mainstream news outlets every weeknight at 5:30. On Mondays, we present the local news produced by the WMBR News Department, reporting on Greater Cambridge and the Boston area. I'm your host, Linda Pinkow. Every city and town in Massachusetts has a municipal board of health. They inspect food and water, respond to housing code violations, disseminate vaccines, monitor insect-borne diseases, educate youth about drug and alcohol use, and respond to all kinds of other public health threats. Over the last 5 years, the state has taken a number of steps to improve the quality of public health services, increase capacity, and advance equity across the Commonwealth. The statewide Accelerated Public Health for Every Community Act, known by its acronym SAFE, was passed in October 2020 with the goal of making the public health system more efficient and effective. Among other things, the SAFE Act created the Public Health Excellence Grant Program, which encourages communities to collaborate and share services with neighboring cities and towns. Currently, 92% of the 351 municipalities in Massachusetts participate in shared public health service arrangements, utilizing funds from this grant program. The Massachusetts Public Health Alliance, along with other healthcare coalitions and leaders from across the state, held a celebration of the 5-year anniversary of the Public Health Grant Program at the State House last Thursday. State Representative Marjorie Decker of Cambridge, chairperson of the Joint Committee on Public Health, emphasized the importance of frontline workers in keeping our communities healthy.
Because it's really, really important more than ever that when the state is making decisions about how to both inoculate and mitigate the harm, the active harm that's happening at the federal level, we are collaborating and saying, what can we do? I think the challenge for us, and truthfully the pain that we share, that I know all of you share at a far deeper level, because you're on the ground. I think being on the ground is always harder than what any of us in appointed and elected office do, because you have to look in the eyes of people who you know actually could be helped and supported if, in fact, what's available was given to them. So I always want to acknowledge that the work that you do is actually far harder than the work that we do. Our job is to make sure that you can give everything that's available and make sure that it's on the table, that it's a tool, that it's a resource, whether that's keeping our air clean, our food clean, preventing infectious disease from spreading, preventing misinformation from spreading, educating, building trust within the community. Those are all the things that you do in keeping our communities healthy.
That was Representative Marjorie Decker of Cambridge, who chairs the Joint Committee on Public Health. After the public event, I spoke with Omi Amarasingham, Deputy Director of the Massachusetts Public Health Alliance. I asked her how the pandemic changed how the state organized and funded public health.
Even before the pandemic, folks in local public health had been working to transform our local public health system into one that meets the needs of residents today and tomorrow. But when the pandemic hit, it really threw into sharp relief the cracks in our local public health system. And so the legislature took the opportunity of the ARPA money to put some big investments into some of the upfront costs that were needed to transform our system. One of those was creating a data system that all local public health departments and the state can access to share data about public health threats. I want to be clear, not personal data, not medical data, but for example, data about what is in the wastewater, which is a way that public health officials tracked COVID. It's a way that they track what's in the drug supply. And local public health has many other responsibilities to support public health and the public health of Massachusetts residents. And sharing data about what's happening in different towns and cities so that we can have a coordinated approach to public health is a really important piece of that.
Is Massachusetts unusual in having a decentralized public health system where each town has its own infrastructure?
Yes, we are the only state that does it this way, and Massachusetts far and away has the most public health departments of any state. So in Massachusetts, we have 351 separate boards of health, one for every town and city in the state. And historically, these departments have operated sort of in silos within their own town, and importantly, had only, until a few years ago, had only ever been funded by municipal dollars. And more specifically, local public health departments and local public health work have only been funded by a town or city's commercial tax base. And so that has meant that Boston, the economic engine of the state, has had robust public health services. The Boston Public Health Commission employs something like 1,000 people to deliver local public health services. But basically no other town or city in the state has anywhere near that kind of commercial tax base, and therefore has had very small and sometimes very small staffs and sometimes no staff. In some towns and cities, it's just a volunteer board of health that is overseeing public health. And I would add another thing that I think many residents don't know, I certainly didn't before I started working in public health, is that our local boards of health are responsible for a very broad range of critical services. Things like inspecting all food establishments for food safety standards to make sure that when you go to a restaurant, you don't get food poisoning. Things like inspecting public waterways and putting out alerts if there's bacteria in the water. So if you want to go to the beach in the summer and trust that you're not gonna get E. coli from swimming in the water, that is a local public health responsibility. Similarly, there's a lot of responsibility about communicable diseases, environmental health. That is an increasing concern with climate change as we see ticks and mosquitoes, populations growing and sometimes not dying off in the winter, which I think folks know can lead to a lot of different kinds of disease. So it's the local board of health that is monitoring those trends, sharing that information, educating the public, and also taking steps to mitigate any problems.
So how does the state government support these local boards? And how does the SAFE legislation recognize the need for coordination? Public health issues don't respect mutual boundaries, right?
That's certainly true. We know that, and we certainly learned some hard lessons about that during the COVID pandemic, really highlighted that we are all closely interconnected. So the Department of Health, the State Department of Health, works very closely with boards of health, especially considering many boards of health and health departments have few staff. The State Department of Public Health plays a big role in helping support staff, training, and also now in particular, because of this legislation and these initiatives that have been created by the legislature, now giving money to local boards of health, specifically within these collaborations. So, for example, Cambridge and Somerville are in a partnership now where they can share staff and hire staff together, because you may not need Cambridge and Somerville independently to have 5 epidemiologists, but maybe together it makes sense to have a certain number of epidemiologists who serve those two cities because they are so close together. And this, you know, particularly across the whole state, if you think about 351 separate boards of health, especially in a small town, there may not be a full-time position for an epidemiologist or a public health nurse, but a collection of 5 or 6 towns could share a public health nurse that could serve the whole community. So the legislation set up a structure to allow and encourage towns and cities to join together with their neighbors to deliver public health services to residents in their area. The other thing that the legislation, together with some funding allocations, have done is create a mechanism for the Department of Public Health to provide grants to these collaborations. So for example, Cambridge and Somerville in their partnership receive a grant together from the Department of Public Health that they can then use to meet the needs of the community. So the grants are pretty general, so that each collaboration can hire the staff that they need or deliver the services that are particular to that region. So, you know, the needs of the Cape and the Islands, certainly some are overlapping with other cities and towns, but they might also be very different than the needs of the Berkshires or the needs of people living in Cambridge and Somerville, depending on lots of different factors.
I've noticed that almost all of the Greater Boston communities are currently getting grants from this program, except for Watertown and Waltham. Do you know why they're not participating?
So I can tell you that of the 351 towns and cities in Massachusetts, somewhere between 320 and 323 are in a shared service agreement now, and there are 51 of these collaboratives. So most of the state and most of the towns and cities are at this point participating in the shared services arrangements. There are about 30 towns and cities that for various reasons are not part of a shared service arrangement at this moment in time. And Watertown and Waltham are two of those. And I don't know the specific reason why Watertown and Waltham are not. I mean, I can say this, there is a fair amount of process to join together with your neighbors and decide how to share money. And that includes intermunicipal agreements. The actual accounting and banking on the back end is fairly bureaucratic and complicated, and that may be part of it. Our goal is to basically get the whole state covered over time by these shared services agreements, with some exceptions, like Boston, for example, because it is so sort of uniquely funded and there and has such robust public health. We don't expect that Boston would join with another group. But for most of the other towns and cities, because of their size and commercial tax base, it does probably make sense to share services. But as with any big statewide transformation, this will take time. So we've been at it 5 years, and to have most of the state already covered, I think shows the strength of the program. And it also might depend on the form of government, what the process is to join, whether you need whose support you need, who are the decision makers. So there are a lot of factors that go into the joining together, and some of that is still playing out in towns and cities across the state.
That was Omi Amarasingham, Deputy Director of the Massachusetts Public Health Alliance. And you're listening to the WMBR Local News.